Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, this Sunday when we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Just have a couple of announcements we'd like to share with you all. We will be having a baptism this Sunday. We will be baptizing a little Esawasam Avivia Watusum. And so she is the daughter of Dennis and Stephanie Watusum. So we will be having that baptism during the service this morning. We also, because this is Easter Sunday, one of the things that we plan to do, which we have done before in the past, is that we will be going outside to sing our last hymn. So please remember that after the affirmation of faith, we will be going outside in the front here, and we will sing our final hymn there, and we will dismiss ourselves out into the world from outside. So please note that, and as soon as we get finished with the affirmation, please don't go this way, but go that way so that we can share together outside in singing our hymn of thanksgiving. You can see the sanctuary has been beautified with all the wonderful tulips and Easter lilies here before us. I have a note here that says if you have a family member or a neighbor who is ill and might appreciate an Easter plant, you can see Haiju Kim or Pat McEwen at the front of the sanctuary following our worship service, and you can take one of the Easter plants to whomever you would like to have one. But please avail yourself of an Easter plant, again, if you know someone who is sick or ill or would just appreciate a plant, an Easter plant, on this glorious Resurrection Sunday. Friends, of course, there are other things that are going on at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to not only read your bulletin, but also go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1-4. Listen as God speaks to you and to me through this his holy word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Our gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1-10. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Well, today is the day. Today is Easter Sunday, the resurrection day. For the last 6 weeks, we've been in the season of Lent, as many of you know. And let's face it, the season of Lent can be perhaps just a little bit of a downer. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of introspection, a season where we are asked to come to grips with all of the ways that we have fallen short of the glory of God, and to help all of us with all of that. And maybe for the last 6 weeks, you've been doing a lot of things, attending to your spiritual disciplines. Maybe you've been fasting. Maybe you've been giving things up for Lent. But today is the resurrection day. Today is Easter Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Today is the day for living it up. It's the day to indulge and to celebrate the stunning, surprising good news that the forces and powers of death have been overturned, the forces and powers of death have been defeated because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. I always like Easter. I have to admit that Easter has come to be, as I've grown older, my favorite day in the liturgical year. It's my favorite time in the liturgical year. When I was younger, I used to love Christmas. Couldn't wait for Christmas. Loved the season of Advent and Christmas. But now that I've grown older, something about Easter, something about the promise of Easter, the promise of resurrection life that has drawn me close to it. And this is my favorite time of the church year. And so I give God thanks for this Sunday, give God thanks for all of you, give God thanks for the opportunity to be here this morning and to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this wonderful day of Easter Sunday. We're reminded this morning that the first Easter was totally unexpected. The first Easter came as a total surprise. We're told that the two Marys in Matthew's gospel who made their way to the tomb on that first Easter morning were not looking for Easter. They were not looking for the resurrection. They were not expecting it. They were looking for death and expecting death. But we are told that they are the first to discover the shocking, surprising, unbelievable good news that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was not there, and he was not there because he is risen from the dead. That's what the angel in our passage this morning conveyed. I love the angel in Matthew's gospel because he makes a grand entrance. He's no quiet, silent angel. He descends, we are told, in the midst of a mighty earthquake. He descends, and then he pops out the stone, and then he sits on it, perches himself on the stone, and he, it's as if he's daring somebody to dispute the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's fashionable for some of us to try to explain the resurrection, to understand it or try to understand it, to make it fit inside of some human category that might make it more believable. Maybe you've had those discussions with people who want to know about it. Maybe you've even tried to persuade people or argue people so they might understand and come to know something about the resurrection. But the whole point of the resurrection is that it's something that cannot be explained. It's not something that can be understood. The resurrection is literally unbelievable. Resurrection is not something that can be argued. It's not something that you can explain to someone. It's not something that you can make fit into some kind of category so that people might be able to accept it. Resurrection is something that has to be lived. It's something that has to be breathed. It's something that transforms us so that we can bear witness to its truth in our lives and in the life of the world. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You know, everyone knows that when you are dead, you're dead. Everyone knows that dead people don't get back up and live again. Everyone knows that death has the last word. Everyone knows that today. Everyone knew that 2,000 years ago. They knew that when you die, you didn't get back up and live again. You didn't get back up and walk again. You didn't get back up and talk again. You didn't get back up to share time with your families. When you were dead because death has the last word, and that's the way it's always been. But that's what made the first Easter so shocking and surprising. Because that first Easter, we are told that the tomb was empty and that Jesus had indeed risen. And what God has done for Jesus, God has promised to do for all of us. For each and every one of us, to liberate us and redeem us from the power of death. I'm in the middle of reading an interesting little book by Kevin Rowe titled Christianity Surprise. And the author notes that from the very beginning, Christianity introduced this shocking, alarming, surprising way of life into the world. The author points out that prior to Christianity, no one thought of all people of having equal value. Prior to Christianity, no one cared much for the destitute and the poor. It was Christianity, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who introduced all of that into the world. Prior to the advent of Christianity, no one cared much for the sick. No one cared much for the infirmed. But it was the followers of Christ who did all of that. It was the followers of the Christ who cared for the sick and the ill, who cared not only for their own, but who cared for the sick of others. Prior to the advent of Christianity, no one cared much for children. If you had a child that you didn't want, you just kind of left it out there to be exposed to death. And no one cared because children weren't valued, but it was the followers of Christ who took those children in and who cared for them and rescued them from the powers of death. The followers of Christ did all of that because of the stunning, shocking, surprising news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, it's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new way of life, rife with all kinds of possibilities. Whatever had been done before, whatever seemed impossible before, the early Christians, the early followers of Christ said, it's a new world, it's a new ball game. There's a new hope coursing through the world. And it is the power of life, resurrection life. I know that many of us have been grounded in the notion that Easter is primarily about the assurance that when we die, we get to go to heaven. And that is certainly true. Our lives are in the hands of a loving God. We're reminded that in life and in death, we belong to God, and God has promised us that nothing can separate us from his love. Not even the power of death itself can close down God's love for us. But please understand this morning that Easter is more than that. Easter is more than us going to heaven. It's much, much more than that. Easter is about this world. Easter is about God's commitment to save and redeem and to liberate this world from all the sin and decay and death that currently corrupts it. And that's what makes Easter such an unsettling and frightening power in the world. That's what made Easter such an unsettling power in the world 2,000 years ago, and that's what makes Easter such an unsettling power in the world today. And that's why in the midst of all of our celebration this morning, in the midst of all of our hallelujahs, we shouldn't be surprised that one of the first reactions to the shocking good news of Easter was fear. Matthew tells us that the soldiers assigned to guard the tomb were terrified before the resurrection power of new life. The soldiers had been given a charge to make the tomb secure. That's what Pontius Pilate told him on Good Friday. Make the tomb secure. Make the power of death secure. Make sure that death has the last word. That's what the powers of the world always want to make sure. They want to make sure that the power of death is secure. But when the mighty angel descends from heaven and pops out the huge stone that seals the tomb and then sits on the top of it, we are told that the soldiers are terrified. They are frightened before the power of life. Don't know what they are frightened about. Don't know what makes them so fearful. Don't know what Pilate was so fearful about. But they're terrified. Maybe they weren't quite sure what a resurrected Lord would do. Maybe they feared that a resurrected Lord that had been unjustly crucified would come back and seek revenge. Maybe they felt that a resurrected Lord that had been humiliated might come back and get them in return. Not quite sure, but all we know is that when people are dead, they are dead. And sometimes we might say that it's easier for people just to die. It's easier for people to take their secrets with them. But the soldiers are terrified because the power of death is the only power that they know. But they're not the only ones who are fearful. Matthew tells us that the two women who came to the tomb, the two Marys, are also fearful when they discover the good news of the resurrection. We're told that they are filled with both joy and fear. Joy because the Jesus that they love and revere, the Jesus whom they've been following and listening to, the Jesus who was crucified and dead and buried on Good Friday, is now alive again. Can you imagine what joy you would have if someone that you loved, someone that you were close to, was dead and suddenly alive again? And so we are told that they were filled with joy. But they are also filled with fear. They're filled with fear because they must take the good news of the resurrection, the good news of the triumph of God's mercy, the triumph of God's forgiveness, the triumph of God's love. And they must take that back into the Good Friday world that they knew so well. And they know that in a Good Friday world, all of those things seem foolish. I agree with New Testament scholar Esau Macaulay, who says that the only thing more terrifying than a world with Jesus dead is one in which he is alive. A world where Jesus is alive and on the loose in the world. A world where Jesus is alive and who is going before us. A world where Jesus asks us to follow his way of love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. It might be a little bit terrifying for some of us. I was talking with some fellow pastors several days ago, right after the shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, that again left death and tragedy in its wake. We were discussing that very tragic event, and one of the pastors, a very thoughtful and bright young pastor, expressed his extreme frustration about that situation. And he was saying, you know, I'm so frustrated, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm frustrated because I know that nothing is going to be done about it. And I had to admit that his sentiments were mine. Nothing is going to be done about it, despite the fact that more children have been cut down, more teachers killed, more innocent lives taken, despite the fact that most Americans want something done about it. Nothing is going to be done about it. But you can say that about every issue that the world is confronted with. Nothing is going to be done about it. You can say that about poverty. Nothing's going to be done about it. You can say that about inequality. You can say that about racism. You can say that about war and conflict. Nothing is going to be done about it. You can say that about abortion. You can say that about the degradation of the planet. Nothing is going to be done about it. Nothing can be done about it because the power of death is so secure. That's what the world does. It makes death secure. So nothing's going to be done about it. But the stunning, shocking, surprising good news for all of us this morning is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. God has raised him from the dead, and what God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to do for all of us. Indeed, God has promised to do for the whole world, to liberate it from the decay, to liberate it from sin, to liberate it from death, to liberate it from all the forces and powers that make our world such a hellish place to live. That's why a big part of the Easter message for us this morning is the message, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the power of life. Don't be afraid to be resurrection people. Don't be afraid to be people of mercy, to be people of love, to be people of forgiveness, no matter how foolish and vulnerable that might seem in the eyes of the world. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of none of it, because we already know what the future looks like. Because the future looks like the resurrected Lord. He is God's future in person. God's future come forward to meet us where we are at. He is the first fruits of the new creation. But he is not alone, because we too are our new creation people. We became that in our baptisms. And that's why Easter is a wonderful time for us to remember our baptisms. Because in our own baptisms, we too have joined that journey. We've joined the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our own baptisms, we have died and been raised to new life. In our baptisms, we too are our new creation people. We too are people who are called to bear witness of the new creation that God has already begun in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be a part of his people. And so we are told not to be afraid. Sometimes I wonder if our problem today, 20 centuries after that first Easter, I wonder if our problem is less fear and more a sense of apathy. I wonder if we have forgotten the shock and the surprise of that first resurrection. I wonder if maybe we've gotten used to coming every year and singing our hallelujahs and singing our hymns. I wonder if we've forgotten the joy and the sheer surprise of discovering that the power of death has been overturned. That the power of death no longer has any power over our lives. That death no longer has the last word. I think that's what propelled those first Christians out into the world. At first, they were afraid. At first, they were scared. And then they remembered the stunning good news, the shocking good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And it sent them out into the world to live as that new creation people. It sent them out into the world to love their neighbors. And not only their neighbors, but to love their enemies. And there are many people on the sidelines that said, look at those Christians, they're foolish. Isn't that the most foolish thing? But that's what they did, because they believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. It sent them out into the alleys, into the byways, to pull people in, people who were neglected, people who were marginalized, people who were sick, people who needed to know and to feel God's compassion for their lives. And the world around them says, isn't that crazy? But they did it because they heard the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that's the same thing that ought to send us out into the world too. Easter is not about some nice little private faith. It's not about some nice little religious sentiment. It's not about what God can do for me, or what God can give me, or how God might be able to bless me with material advantages. Easter is not even about me going to heaven when I die. Easter is the stunning good news that God is already active in overcoming the forces and the powers of death in our world. And God wants us to be a part of it, you and me. He wants us to be the kind of people who will go out into the world with this basic affirmation that is made manifest in all that we do. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You guys don't believe that. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that's what our world needs to hear more than anything else. They need to hear, they need to know the stunning good news. The stunning good news for the whole world, the stunning good news for their lives. They need to hear the good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that the powers of death no longer have any power over us or over them. May we proclaim that good news this Easter Sunday by how we live that affirmation out in the midst of our world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us what we need. You've given us a future to guide and direct our lives. You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. Lord, you have told us that that is the future that you have called us to live into. And you've called us to remember our own baptisms, our own journeys of dying and rising in Christ. Lord, we pray that you will help us to live into the good news of what this day and what this season is about. Help us to be your resurrected people, your new creation people, your loving people. Help us to live into the shock and the surprise of what this season is about. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.